baptized not but his disciples. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. It was noon. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered, verse 10, and said unto her, If thou knewest, if you only knew the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Let's put our Bibles down and put our hands in the air and ask God to bless us tonight. Lord, we need you. Thank you for your presence that's in this place. God, touch every heart, every person that's here, every man, woman, child. God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, God, that we would leave transformed, that we would leave renewed and restored in the Holy Ghost. Speak your word tonight, God, as only you can. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the privilege to preach your word. Touch us tonight. Everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. Somebody help me preach tonight. God bless you. And you may be seated. I want to speak on those four words. If you only knew. If you only knew. In the New Living Translation in John 4 and verse 10, Jesus replied and said, If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. And this water that I would give you, you would drink from and you would never thirst again. You'd never thirst again. In those words, if you only knew. When we say those words, when we're speaking to someone and we say, if you only knew, there's a lot of different scenarios that we could use for that in that context. But most of the time when we're talking to someone and we say, if you only knew, usually maybe we're talking about a restaurant. And, someone asked for a good restaurant down there, and man, you got to go to this place. It is wonderful. It will change your life. And I was speaking from experience. I had been there. I had tasted from the menu. I ate this Cajun food. Being from Louisiana, I like Cajun food. I like good Cajun seasoned spicy food. Whew. Crawfish, etouffee, shrimp, jambalaya, gumbo, fried donuts, beignets, and coffee. And, that's why we're all overweight in the South. and we're glad about it. But when you're telling someone something, And maybe they're talking up. They're saying, "Hey, we're looking for a good Cajun restaurant in the city." And you can't wait for them to stop talking because you have what we call a testimony. You have experience. You can't overcome experience. When someone's been there and tasted and seen it, maybe it's a vacation, and you're talking to Brother Daniel about a good vacation spot because he's been everywhere twice. And you're asking, man, Brother Dan, you got to tell. We're thinking about going here on this trip. What do we need to see? When's a good time to go? And he can say, man, if you only knew, because he's talking from experience. Usually, when we're telling somebody those four words, if you only knew, usually it's because we've experienced something that we would like them to experience. Right, man, if you only knew how good that restaurant is, if you only knew how wonderful those waterfalls were, if you only knew. And so, knowledge is power. Sir Francis Bacon was the first person attributed to the phrase that knowledge is power. When you know that you know that you really know, when you've been there and you've experienced, nobody can take that away from you. They can be a naysayer. Oh, there's naysayers in everything. You can say how beautiful the blue sky is, and they'll just say, well, it's just about to rain. No matter what you say, there's always naysayers, there's always doubters, and no matter your miracle or your testimony or whatever God's done for you, someone can always detract from that, say, well, I don't really know, Brother Dwayne, if that really happened in that hospital room. Well, when you speak to the one that was on the hospital bed, who walked out of the hospital, it's a different story. Because you have the knowledge. You have the experience. Brother Dwayne can say, well, if you only knew what those nurses told me, if you only knew what the doctor said, if you only knew what they wrote on my little chart, then you would understand why I say what I say and do what I do. And so we come from a place of knowledge. Everybody say knowledge. Because you know. And so Jesus, the Bible says, he must needs go through Samaria. He made it a point to go through this lady's town. And the Bible says Jacob's well was there, and Jesus had it all set up. He knew Jacob's well was there. And so he goes through this town and he just sits there and he waits on this lady. And she gets there and Jesus looks at her and he knew that she was from Samaria, and she knew that he was a Jew, and he said, give me to drink. And this lady's like, usually this water pot is not for Jews, because I'm a Samaritan and you're a Jew, and we don't have dealings. We don't really get along. We're not really bringing cookies to one another. We don't socialize. And Jesus looked at this lady and he said those powerful words as he sat on the well in her city, knowing that he was there just to speak to her. And he said, woman, if you only knew. I want to talk to us from three spots about that, if you only knew. If you only knew his presence, if you only knew his power, and if you only knew his promise. If you only knew. This lady did not know. How could she have? She did not know whose presence she was in. There was this well that she would always go to. She knew the path. She knew exactly how to get there. She knew how long it was going to take. She knew how much water she could draw. This was a daily occurrence. And so she made her way to her well with her water pot. There on this day was a man, a Jew, no less, that she had no idea who he was. She had no idea who he was. She didn't know Jesus. They had never met. But I would like to think if they would have had a conversation. You know, when we meet people, we introduce ourselves. Hi, I'm Michael McFarland. And they introduce themselves. And someone that you've never met before. And you just kind of have small talk, right? You start talking about your jobs and your family. And when I go out on a job, and some of you can attest to this, you know, just small talk. You start talking about your family and showing pictures on your phone. This is Jackson and Blair, and this is my wife, and this, you know, we live in Valley. You just start having small talk. Where are you from? What do you do? And how long have you been here? And what's your favorite ball team? You just start having small talk. Could you imagine if Jesus and this lady had small talk? She's like, where are you from? He's like, well, before there was anything, I was there. I've walked on water. Where are you from? What do you do? And you know, Jesus, going back to the very beginning, could have said, you know, I begin to speak into nothing, and things begin to happen. I said, let there be light, and there was light. I said, you know, I divided the waters, the heavens from the earth, and the waters from the waters and the firmaments, and I created the stars and the sun and the moon, and this lady, like, wow, who is this? You know, because sometimes we meet people, we don't realize who we're in the presence of. I remember when I was selling cars, I remember somebody came on the lot and they drove up in this, it was just this old car and it looked like it was about to fall apart, and all the salesmen ran, Brother Daniel. You know, you start profiling, and I don't want to do it. You know, I don't know. They ain't got credit or nothing. They're not going to be able to buy anything. They're just here kicking tires. And I was the new guy, so off I went. Hey, that's a prospect. Let's go and go talk to him. And come to find out, through conversation, he owned this big business in town. And he was just kind of undercover. He didn't want anybody to see who he was. And he owned the Edie's ice cream right there in South Carolina. But all of a sudden, you get in the presence of somebody that you're like, wow, you start, you're like, wow. You know, if the President of the United States would walk into the back door, everybody would stand, as we should, and respect, right, and say, well, you know, and the kids start crying, like, shh, you know, come on, the President's here. Can we, like, try to, let's look good. And but in every service, we're in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord. We should be putting on our best effort, amen? We should be giving our highest praise. Because it makes a difference when you're in his presence. She didn't know whose presence, but if they would have had a conversation and he was just talking, he said, yeah, before Abraham was, I am. In fact, if she had a Bible that she was able to read, she'd have been able to read that. This is John 14. She'd have been able to read that in John chapter 8, where he said, I am the light of the world. And on, I am the bread of life. And before Abraham was, I am. And that's whose presence you are in. And when you realize that I'm in the presence of the Master, but this lady didn't know that. She had no way of knowing. She just came, as she always would, to this well. And Jesus, you know, he could have said, yeah, before Abraham was, I am. And let me tell you about Moses. You've heard about Moses. I told Moses one time to go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Moses just said, well, Lord, I've got this speech problem. I stutter when I speak. I don't know if you know this or not. And God's like, yeah, I know. I remember when I formed your mouth. I know you have a speech. I know you have a stutter, Moses. Moses, what's that in your hand? And Moses was holding his staff and his rod. And God said, cast it down. And he cast it down, and immediately it became a serpent. Can you imagine Moses? I mean, could you imagine some of us? Throw it down and it becomes a snake. I don't like snakes. And I'm from Louisiana. I mean, they're everywhere. I don't like any of them. I don't like the poisonous ones. I don't like the non-poisonous. I just don't like snakes. Got a few amens. And so it becomes a snake, and God says, pick it up. I liked it better when it was a rod. But Moses picks it up, and it becomes a rod. Moses is like, all right, can we? I know I'm going to keep it. And on their way out of on the Exodus, when they were leaving Egypt, and they get to the Red Sea, and this would be the conversation with Jesus. Jesus is kind of letting this lady know who he is. And he said, when they got to the sea and there was the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army was behind him, I told Moses to stretch out his rod. And Moses was like, well, God, anything you tell me to do with this rod, I'm going to do. After I threw it down and it became a serpent, I picked it back up. It became, you just tell me what to do. And he said, stretch it out over the sea. And I stretched it out over the sea and the water. There's nobody like our God. And so Jesus is in the presence of this lady. And he didn't say all of that I just said. He didn't tell her how he had walked on water with the disciples and parted the Red Sea and shut the lion's mouth and kept the three Hebrew children from even smelling like smoke and none of their clothes or none of their hair was singed. And he didn't talk about Samson, and he didn't say any of those things. All he said was, lady, If you only knew. Could you imagine what was going on? Kind of like Brother Chris preached this morning when God was talking to Job and he began to ask all those questions, saying, where were you? And Job's just frustrated and he's saying, God, I need... And God's just saying, Moses, where were you when I flung the stars out with five words? He was basically saying, Job, if you only knew. If you only knew whose presence you were in, lady. I came to this town just for you. God still does that, by the way. God still shows up in your town, and he still shows up on your proverbial well. And he says, if you only knew whose presence you were in on this Sunday night, you would have worshiped a lot harder. You would have sang a lot louder. You'd have clapped. You'd have stomped your feet. You'd have ran the aisles. You'd have brought your babies. Whatever it took. If you only knew the power and the presence that I possess. And that's what he told this lady. He said, if you only knew. If you only knew tonight, really, whose presence you were in. God is all powerful. He knows all things. He can, we sang it, nothing is impossible with our God. Somebody say that word, impossible. That means something to us. We face what we feel like are impossible situations. We do. I do. I face things that I thought, how in the world are we going to get out of this? How in the world? It's impossible. There's not a way out. But I've noticed something in Scripture from the very beginning in Genesis when there was nothing and God spoke and the situation changed. Every time God walks into a situation, the situation is the only thing that changes. Because Malachi 3 and 6 says, for I am the Lord, and I change not. So when God walks into our situation, it's the situation that has to change. Well, praise God. Some of you are in situations tonight. Let me tell you, it's the situation that's going to change. It's the diagnosis that's going to change. It's the lost loved one that's going to get saved. It's the blinded eyes that are going to see. It's the deaf that's going to hear. Those are the situations that our God walks in. And it's not God that changes, but it's the situation. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. Because if you only knew, if we really knew. This lady had no idea. She just went to her well and there was this man. And he said, if you knew who it was that said unto thee, if you only knew. We sing songs that pump us up and remind us of who he is. And he's a way maker, promise keeper. And we just start going through the list. I've talked about this before, but I've found it in my office, in my books. This is my thesis, Bible College, Brother Hudspeth, who's talking about Jackson. This is my thesis that I wrote when I graduated. And I titled it, The Wonderful Titles of Our Beautiful Lord. And I got an A. It's right here. He said, very good. Brother Fred Foster. Great man of God, went on to be with the Lord. But I looked through the back of this and I found 593 titles of God through the Bible. And some of them he said were, you know, he scratched out some of them. He said, you know, we're getting a little, stretching a little bit, all right? But anyway, let's just say there's 500 of them. There's a lot of titles. There's only one name, amen? What's that name? There's only one name, and that name is Jesus. Amen. But But when you're in His presence, He's Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, bread of heaven, the bread of life, lily of the valley, bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000. He's the day star. He's a lifter of up of my head. He's my horn and my buckler. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. And when He walks into your situation and comes and sits down on the well in your town, He's all that. He's everything. God is not limited by our economy. God is not limited by the things that limit us. God is not hindered by the things that hinder us and weaken us. God is Alpha and Omega. He's from the beginning to the very ending. He is not of His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. The things that affect us don't affect Him. And so when we walk in the back door with the chains, and we walk in the back door feeling burdened, and we walk in the back door with regret and with doubt and with fear, and we walk in with our diseases, and we walk in with hindrances, and we walk in with life, God's saying, is that all you got? Bring it to me. This ain't the first time that I've seen your situation. This isn't the first time that I've had to heal someone of that disease. This isn't the first time that I had to write a check on your behalf, and you walk into and they say, the bill has been paid. In fact, if you remember Calvary, I paid it all. This ain't the first. I got a big old checkbook. I own the cattle of 1,000 hills and the hills. Praise God. Praise God. If you only knew who it was that you were talking to, you have entered the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And guess what? He's here tonight. He's walking up and down these aisles, and the devil's trying to suppress your worship. And he's trying to hinder you even right now as I'm speaking. He's trying to keep you quiet and silent. And he's trying to keep you from having a breakthrough. But guess what? We're going to have a breakthrough. You're going to receive your healing. And you're going to receive your blessing. There is faith that is in this house. And the mover of the mountains is in this place. And God is about to release it. Yep. Chains will be broken. Hallelujah. Everybody say He's a chain breaker. And so if you knew His presence, and then if you knew His power, Jesus said, all power is given unto me. That's a oneness verse right there. There's not Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. There's not three separate beings, because if Jesus said, all power is given unto me, then the Father and the Holy Ghost are powerless. Jesus said, all power is given unto me. Praise God. I thank God that I serve a God that has all power. That no matter my situation, and no matter my circumstance, and no matter the day that I'm going through, and no matter the mountain that's before me, no matter the situation, the trial, and the turbulence that I'm facing, I serve a God that walked out in the middle of the storm and said, peace be still. The calmest waters you've ever seen. But right before that, the disciples were worried. Yeah. Right now, some of you are worried. You got family issues. You got troubled waters, if you will. There's a storm going on in your life. You're three words away from the calmest waters you've ever seen. Because when Jesus steps into your situation, it's the situation that has to change. God's not changing. God has never changed. He's the same yesterday, today. That equation should be yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That's what it should be, but not with our God. It's yesterday, today, and forever. That means it's all covered. That if he was good back then, he's good today, and he's going to be good forever. If he was a healer back then, he's a healer today, and he'll be a healer and a deliverer and a way maker forever. If you only knew. Look at your neighbor and say, if you only knew. Y'all said that too fast. I need a water break. Amen. If you only knew the power. Praise God. Sometimes we sing these songs and we start shouting and we start because we know that he's a way maker. Because he's made a way in our life. And we know when it gets to the part and God my healer. We know that and we sing that with everything we have because we remember the hospital room. We remember the atmosphere and the smell, if you will, of the hospital room that we were in. We remember that God brought us through. And so we sing it with everything we got because we know knowledge is power. And so if we only knew. And so we worship with everything we have because we have a testimony. Everybody say testimony. I told somebody, a few people actually, everything that, you know, that God's been doing at our church just since January. I told them, I've got to start writing all this down. I got to start logging this because I can't even keep up with everything that God's been doing. I really can't. In fact, let's just talk about the power of God for a little while. Sweet Sister Henson, we were at her wake on Saturday. And the mood, everyone was kind of hushed and talking. And you're sad, but you're happy because, you know, she's received her reward. And this is what she's been telling everybody, I'm ready to go home. And it's hard on the family, and we're praying for the Henson family and the Fielder family. We're just praying for strength because it's sad for us, but it's great for her, amen? Right now, she's with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, dancing on streets of gold. But we were at that wake, and it was just quiet, and I was just kind of walking around, making sure nobody needed anything, and just kind of talking to people, and out of the corner of my eye, somebody was making a beeline toward me. And I looked, and she had this smile from ear to ear. And she had both hands, fists pumped in the air. And we're at a wake. And she's walking through. I was standing about right there, and she started walking through that pew, didn't you, Sister Mary Williams? And she came to me like this. She goes, I got to tell you something. She goes, I'm cancer free. And we rejoice with you, Sister Williams. Had cancer for a few months, didn't know exactly what it was. And the doctor went in and there's nothing there. That's the power of a... How many know he's a way maker? What has he done for you? Did he heal you? And now I got a testimony. Now you can't take that away. You come too late to tell Sister Williams that God is not a healer. Yeah. Praise God. That's just one. Everybody say one. We believe in oneness until it comes to a list of miracles. Young people, y'all jotting stuff. Y'all write these miracles down. Because I want y'all to look back in y'all's journal one day when God, when the devil comes on you and he says, oh, you're not going to be healed. God's not going to do anything for you. I want you to pull out your file of faith and I want you to say, oh yeah, on February 9th, 2020, I remember Sister William is free of cancer. Yeah. Sometimes you just have to have a log of faith. You just have to have a file faith, if you will. Thank you. Sorry, I bent that a little bit. That's just the anointing right there. Praise God. And so I got a phone call. I like these phone calls. It was a number I didn't know. And on the other end of the line, she said, hey, Pastor McFarland, this is Cindy Trierce. She said, I just want to tell you something. I came up for prayer last Sunday night. Sister Spicer brought me up. I came to church with Sister Spicer, and she brought me up for prayer. And I just wanted to, is it okay if I share a testimony? I was like, let me pull over. And I did. And so I said, all right, go ahead, Cindy. I'm ready. And she said, well, I got a couple testimonies. I said, you just take your time. And she said, well, I had aortic dissection. I had an aneurysm. And doctor said that she would be paralyzed. And this was before this Sunday night. This is her other testimony. She said, doctor said that I'd be paralyzed. They brought all the family in and gave the news that I'd be paralyzed. Well, I walked out of the hospital. I said, all right. Yep. And she said, but that's not it. I said, all right, hit me. Come on, bring it, bring it. God's been doing wonderful things. I don't even know what to expect. I've got to the point where I don't show up to church saying, I wonder if God's going to do a miracle. I show up saying, I wonder what it's going to be, and I wonder who it's going to be for. I wonder which family is going to receive a blessing tonight, because I know somebody is going to be healed, delivered, saved, blessed, whatever it is, God. I don't know. It might be a Red Sea. It might be what? It might be a lion's den, whatever it is, God. You could bring three Hebrew children, whatever you want to do, God. I throw the rod down and become a serpent. I don't know what you want to do. But he'll do it. Somebody say he'll do it. And so she said, let me tell you. So I came up. I've been having lower back problems from this aneurysm since I've had it. Horrible back pain. And I told Sister Spicer that. And Sister Spicer said, well, what are you waiting for? Go down to the front. Like Sister Spicer, go down to the front. I'll go with you. And so she brought her down, and we just laid the hands on her, and we just prayed a prayer of faith. It doesn't take a whole, it doesn't, all it takes is, in the name of Jesus, receive your healing. And that's basically what we prayed. And she said, as soon, she said, I didn't get home. I didn't wake up in the morning. As soon as y'all prayed for me, the pain that I've been feeling for years left my body. And this was today. And she said, I still don't feel any pain in my lower back. Yep. Oh. That's our God. She said, but I ain't done. I said, well, keep it coming. I'm not done either. I ain't hung up. She said, I want to tell you something, Pastor McFarland. So the next day, I heard y'all was talking about financial blessings and miracles, and you had those on the platform, and I wanted one. So I had put everything I had in the offering plate. I put $9 in the offering plate. The very next day, I received a check from NIPSCO. NIPSCO, Brother Rich, does not give out checks. But in Cindy's mailbox was a check from NIPSCO for $375. I got a testimony. Woo! Glory. Praise God. And so when you have that testimony, you have those testimonies, and you're talking to somebody in the world and they're struggling, they're going through it, you can say those four words with utmost confidence. If you only knew what's happening in our church, what happened in my life, if you only knew the power and the authority that we've been feeling in our worship services from the very first song, you can feel it too. Come get your life changed. Praise God. You had that testimony. As the music comes, I'm not done yet, but just come place a little bit for me. So some of you know already, Brother Jimmy Hand, run up here. We're just talking about the power. Somebody say the power. If you only knew the power. You know, with that conversation with Jesus, he could have said, yeah, there was this one time this blind man came up to me. And I just spit in the mud that I created. Because John 1:3 says, all things were created by me. And without me was not anything made that was made. Come on up here, brother. He said, so I spit in the mud. Got it. And I put it in this blind man's eye. Took it off. And he could see. That's power. There's no other God that can do what our God can do. Anybody believe that? Nobody. Brother Dwayne quoted the verse just while he said, I am God beside me. There's no other gods. There's other little g gods, you know, they put them on the dashboard and they have a little bobblehead and they pray to that God. That God doesn't answer. I've seen that God. They go worship Baal and they'll bring bananas and fruit and oranges, whatever, and they'll place it right there. Baal never eats those. But our God, Brother Willie, Sister Tina, our God can step into a situation, and when all hope is gone, and no matter what the doctors and the nurses have said, he can say, you know what? Peace be still. Be healed. If you only knew his power. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Because if you did, if you really knew, so I got a call today at lunch. I could hardly hear, but I heard a distraught voice on the other end, Brother Jimmy. He said, Pastor, I need you to pray for me right now. I've just been in a really bad accident, and I'm trying to hear, and I'm saying, Brother Jimmy, well, tell me what happened, what went on. And he's shaking up, and you can hear, I mean, as you can imagine. How many of you were in the vehicle? Six. Brother Jimmy, Sister Rebecca, and all their kids, and Ricky. Ricky knows the power of God. Because what happened today, nobody can take away from this family. Getting on the interstate, I-94. 18-wheeler, as soon as he gets on the interstate, hits their vehicle, turns them sideways, and just begins to push their car down 94. Whole family's in the car, just picked up the kids from youth practice. Just doing the work of God. But there were angels. God, before you got on I-94, God dispatched some angels. They said, go take care. In that phone call, on the other end of the line could have been a state trooper saying, there's a family from your church. I need you here now. But
if you only knew the power of our God that can dispatch angels and say, hey, go take care of this. Go wrap your arms around this family. And now, Brother Jimmy Hand's on this platform and his family's in this church. And Brother Dwayne's up here playing the guitar. Because there was some man, there's a God that has all power. And so when you know that you know that you know that you know, can't nobody do me like Jesus. There's nobody like my God. Nobody can dispatch angels.
That's three miracles that happened in 1 week. I don't know what it is that you have walked into on this Sunday night, but I know that the devil has been fighting you from the very beginning of this service. Because guess what? We might not know the power that our God possesses, but the devil knows. Because there was a day at Golgotha where the physical body of Jesus was crucified. And he hung 6 hours on that cross and the crown of thorns, and the cat of nine tails 39 times on his back and ripped out his flesh, and they beat his face to where he was not even recognizable. That phrase there in the Greek literally means they beat his face off. Throwing a party. Yeah, we got him. And then all of a sudden, boom, right there in the devil's home, Jesus said, you got some keys that belong to me. The keys of death. The devil doesn't have the power of death over you. The keys of death, hell, he doesn't even have the keys to his own home. The keys of death, hell, and the grave cannot contain. And so the devil seen firsthand the power that our God. In fact, God said, I saw you fall like lightning. So we walk in with our situations, and we walk in with our hurt, and we walk in with our burdens that are so heavy. They are. But if you only knew that he is a way maker. We could sing that song 1,000 times. He's a way maker. He's a promise keeper. He's a door opener, young people. In fact, he is the door. He could put families back together. Our biggest hurts and our biggest insecurities and the greatest things that we will ever face are in this world. There's a verse that says, heaven is my throne and earth, I prop my feet up on your problems, because I am God and you are not. I am God and I change not.
I'm still in the healing business. I'm still in the way making business. I'm still in the protecting business. I'm still in the healing business. I'm still in the putting families back together business, Brother Dave. I'm still in the freeing and delivering business. And the last one I want to say real quick is if we only knew His promise, His presence, His power, and His promise. We get a description of heaven in Revelation. It's brief. It's on purpose that we don't know everything. It's going to be a surprise. We do know some things. We do know the streets are not just paved with gold, but the streets are gold. The walls of jasper and gates of pearl. Everything's just done up right. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. John 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me also. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare. God spoke and there was light. God spoke and it divided the waters from the waters. And God spoke and he created man. And God spoke. And in an instant those things happened. But the Bible says he has gone to prepare. How beautiful is heaven going to be when we've had God all this time preparing? If we only knew. So I propose to you, and I say this very respectfully, and I say this, I'm being very sensitive right now. Please understand, Pastor. But if just for a brief moment, if we could have a conversation with some of our elders that have gone on before us. We sit them up here and say, Sister Pat, tell us about heaven. Sister Trimble, is it everything that we think it is? Sister Henson, they could look at us and say, if you only knew. These petty things down here that bother us and that try to divide our praise team, and that tries to wedge itself in between Sunday school teachers. If you only knew. If you could see what I see. Standards wouldn't be a problem. Pastor, for a little bit. You wouldn't question those things that are trying to divide and take away your worship, to where now you sit in the presence of an almighty God and you don't feel a thing because you've let this petty stuff. How is it, Brother Copeland? Oh, Pastor McFarland, if you only knew. Y'all would have worshiped from the very first note. And y'all wouldn't have stopped worshiping. You would have laid down every bit of pride. You would have laid down every egotistical thing that would have held you back and hindered you from giving God everything. Because I want you to know, this is a place you don't want to miss. Oh, God. if you only knew. Everybody stand. Let's just begin to worship the King of Kings right now. God is in this house. Oh, come on. If you only knew, you'd give God everything right now. Come on, young people, that's it. You don't have to wait for the adults to start praying. Come on, just reach out to them right now. If you only knew what has been prepared for you, you would start giving God everything. You wouldn't hold back anything. You wouldn't let anything hinder you or be an obstacle. You would do whatever it took to make your way to this altar. Come on, this altar's open. Somebody ought to come and say, God, I got to make it. Whatever it takes. Come on, somebody. If you only knew.
Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. never stop, you never stop working.